Our theme this morning is the community of the King. The community of the King. The community of the King. This is a theme that was not so much determined as the chapel committee began planning for the year, but a theme that we began to realize was emerging as we were talking about various needs and various concerns about how we might lead the campus community in a chapel program that would draw us together as a community. 2 weeks ago, the faculty and staff gathered for announcements and introductions and prayer. Faculty had 2 days of retreat. Then the athletic camps began to arrive, and then the freshmen arrived, and on Monday, classes started. But this is the first opportunity to gather the entire campus community together. As a matter of fact, as I was talking with Larry Hardesty, this is really the first time we've done this in the last 4 or 5 years. Really encouraged campus-wide that offices would be closed, that staff and others would be encouraged to come and participate. As I thought about the community of the King, I went looking on the web for a picture, and I found this picture of the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe. There are a variety, but I like this one with Aslan at the top, and it's just a few representations of those who are involved in his kingdom. There are talking animals. There are people. There are centaurs, and there are giants. There are a number of strange kinds of things, but the point is all of Aslan's community is represented before him. And like Aslan, Jesus is the King. And really, if you know the story of the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe, Aslan is the Jesus figure. And as a Christian college, then we are a community who is drawn together by him. As we were talking about how to introduce the theme and the topic for the year, one of the things that I thought about was I began to think, well, what is a college anyway? Is a college merely a group of ivy-colored buildings? Oh, there's the college. Is it marked by a large library with lots of volumes? Is it marked by classes? Well, certainly those are all aspects, so I went looking for some definitions, and I found two that I thought were particularly relevant. One is that a college is an institution of higher learning that grants bachelor's degrees. But another definition is that a college is a body of persons having a common purpose or a shared goal. And that took me to Geneva's own mission statement. You find it posted all over the place on campus. It's obviously part of our recruiting. You can't go on our website without finding it. It's part of our admissions. It's part of our hiring. Everybody at least should be confronted with it at some point. To glorify God by educating and ministering to a diverse community of students for the purpose of developing servant leaders, transforming society for the kingdom of Christ. So Geneva is a community with a shared purpose, a shared mission. Now, if you take a moment, those of you who are sitting down here, kind of look behind you, would you? Just everybody kind of turn around and take a look. People who are up back there can already see. If we said, how many of you are under the age of 25, it's the overwhelming majority, right? A college involves students. But a college is not only students. And students, that's one of the things we want you to become aware of. It is very easy in a postmodern culture to think, well, we are the end-all and be-all, and all of life involves around us. But what you are a part of now is a community. It's a community that involves other students, a community that involves faculty. It's a community that involves all kinds of staff people. Sometimes the people, you don't even know their names and you hardly remember their faces, but without whom life on this campus would be extremely difficult. And we want you to get a sense that this is a community, which is one of the reasons in this chapel program, one of the reasons we've made a shift. Why did you make a shift? There were some good things done last year, but doing 3 different things during the week fragmented the community rather than drawing the community together. So one of the strategic decisions was, let's have something that draws everybody together, and I want you to know, and I hope I can get an amen, if I had a 1,500-seat chapel, it would be really nice. Amen? Okay. But we're doing it in a field house. We tried to figure out some way to do it someplace smaller. We simply couldn't get everybody in. this is the place we have, and we're going to try to make it as attractive and interesting as possible, but this is the place where we can gather everybody. Now, that leads me then, as we think about Geneva's purpose, it leads me to the question of a metaphor. What metaphor can you use to describe a college? And over the years, if you've been around, people use a variety of metaphors. Well, Geneva is a family, which is where you get alma mater. Right? But the problem is that in most families, we don't have entrance requirements, we don't give tests, and we don't do performance evaluations. Okay? You don't get eliminated. Right? You're a part of the family. Okay? Is a college a business? In some places, folks, colleges are huge businesses. I would like to have the surplus from Penn State for 1 year. Okay? I could probably build my 1,500-seat chapel. All right? I remember years ago being at Michigan State, and this was in the 1970s, and Michigan State surplus that year was $4 million, which was the entire operating budget of Geneva College. See, there are places in which colleges are simply big business, but students then get reduced to simply being customers. So as I've thought about this, the metaphor that I've been really playing with for some time now is the idea of a sheep pen. If you're familiar with the King James, it talks about a sheepfold. Right? And you find that the sheep pen is the metaphor that was in John chapter 10, the passage that Shirley Kilpatrick was reading for us. Did you notice that in verse 6, as Jesus was talking about the sheep pen, they said they did not understand this figure of speech? Right? So if you have some problems today, so I'm not sure how this all connects, you're in really good company. Right? If you didn't understand me, I'm not in bad company because they didn't understand Jesus either. But what this draws us to is that the most frequently used image in the Bible, Old and New Testament, to describe the people of God is sheep. It's interesting. It's not only the way God describes them at points, but when you get to the Psalms, you notice that in Psalm 80, the people of Israel, the people of God, self-define themselves as sheep. Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, who leads Joseph like a flock. Psalm 100, which we sang. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 119, where the psalmist says, I am a straying sheep. Recognizes that he's prone to wander. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. So it's a biblical metaphor, both used by God as well as by the people. Old Testament leaders like Abraham, Joseph, Moses were shepherds. David was a shepherd king. So it's a metaphor that is used frequently. Now, that could lead us to ask, so why? Why is this the most frequently used metaphor in both the Old and the New Testament? Well, first of all, I think it highlights the fact that sheep are weak and needy. They are prone to wander. They are prone to repeated mistakes. I'm sorry, folks, but one of the marks of sheep is they really aren't too bright. As a matter of fact, incredibly stupid is a really good word. Right? And it's not particularly, it does hurt, doesn't it? It's not particularly flattering, but what you discover is they keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Do you have that problem? Any of you still struggling with the same sins that you were struggling with, for some of you maybe 10 years ago, for some of us 40 years ago, 50 years ago? It's like, man, when am I going to be too old? Right? Never. That we simply struggle. We're prone to the same kinds of mistakes. Now, that leads me to one of my favorite characters. I'm trusting that I'm going to catch almost all of you. Those of you who are really older need to be watching VeggieTales for the sake of your grandchildren, right? But do you remember Dave's sheep? Okay. Here's Junior Asparagus, okay, with the little sheep. And we were going to get the video clip, but we couldn't do it for it. We needed the time, right? But you remember the problem with Dave's sheep? What happens to Dave's sheep? They fall over, okay? Dave, one of my sheep just fell over. He's always running around propping up his brother's sheep, right? Did you know that's true? Did you know that sheep fall over? And that when they fall over, they can't get back up again? It has to do with being on a hillside. It has to do with being incredibly fat and flabby. And when they get over, there's nothing there, and they can't get back up. And a sheep will get on its back with its legs straight up and cannot right itself until the shepherd comes along stands it up. Philip Keller wrote a book, A Shepherd, talks about the 23rd Psalm, and he describes, as a shepherd in Africa, dealing with one ewe who fell over five times in the same day. Right? But here's the point. It is called a cast sheep. Side of me to get me back up right again. Right? Dave's sheep fall over and over and over, and you get the point. So whether we like it or not, the Bible compares us to sheep. Well, let's move then to what's a sheep pen. A sheep pen is a strong enclosure. I'm a little concerned because we have sort of, most of us have the American Western image. So when you think about a sheep pen, something like corral sort of with loose fences. No, and the picture we've got here, one of the best that I could come up with, it's not ideal. But you realize, no, it's a high-fenced enclosure in first-century culture, probably made out of stone, with one small opening to get into it. Right? Now, here's one of the first things. So a sheep pen is a place where you put the sheep, usually for the night. You notice in the passage that multiple shepherds may have their sheep in the same pen. But here's one of the things I want you to get as we start making connections with this metaphor. A sheep pen is not a destination. A sheep pen is a stopover. College for students is not a destination. Right? It's not where you're supposed to stay forever. It's a place where you come on the path of going to where it is that God is leading you. So I want us to get that sense. Now, what's a sheep pen like? Well, first of all, a sheep pen has to be safe. There are boundaries that make the sheep pen a safe place. The strong wall is intended to keep the sheep from wandering away, and it's intended to keep the wolves, the bears, and the lions out. A sheep pen is designed to nurture. When you put the sheep in the sheep pen, you're trusting that they're going to be able to thrive. I'm not sure I like this picture that we had, because it looks like you're trying to get into a Steelers game or something. It's just, everybody's there. You can hardly move. Okay, I don't think the sheep pen is intended to just confine them, but it's supposed to be a place where they can rest, supposed to be a place where they can be nurtured. That's the nature of a sheep pen. It must nurture. It must provide food and water and shelter and straw. A sheep pen must have only one gate. Again, that's for the protection of the sheep. Some of you who are parents can remember, you locked the front door, and while you weren't looking, the kid went out the back door, and you're running all over the place. See, a sheep pen has only one gate. Shepherd knows once they're there, he doesn't have to worry about them going out the back door and wandering away, nor does he have to worry about a predator coming in. A sheep pen has to have appropriate shepherds. The assumption here is that as Jesus is describing the sheep pen initially, there's multiple sheep in there, but each sheep has an appropriate shepherd, and then you've got a watchman, somebody that the shepherd trusts to sort of keep the gate at night. And here's what would happen. The shepherds would come, put their sheep in the sheep gate, the watchman would lock the door. In the morning, when the shepherd would come, he'd knock on the door and the watchman would say, who's there? And the shepherd had to be able to give the right answer, and then the watchman would open. The shepherd would go in because you've got multiple sheep. See, the interesting thing, they didn't have branding in the first century. Okay? How does he know? He calls them by name. Shepherds have unique and individual styles of calling, and the sheep knows the shepherd's voice. He knows them, and he calls them, and he leads them out. That's the kind of thing you've got appropriate kinds of shepherds. Here's a little side note that we'll come back to. The distinction between shepherds and hired hands. And Jesus will make that distinction. Hired hands don't care about the sheep. The shepherd does. Now that leads us to the role of Jesus as the good shepherd. He moves back and forth in John chapter 10 between the sheep pen and the shepherd. He talks about the sheep pen and then he talks about himself as the shepherd, contrasting himself to the false shepherds of Israel who don't care about the sheep. But then this is what Jesus says. As he talks about himself as the good shepherd, he says, he is the gate. Some sheep pens have doors. Some sheep pens simply have a hole in the wall, and when the shepherd gets his sheep in there, that's where he sleeps. He kind of curls up with his little backpack, his bottle of water, and whatever, and he sleeps there, and you can't get in or out except through him. Jesus is picking up the metaphor. He is the gate, and he is the one who leads the sheep to God. He's the one who nurtures the sheep. We're going to sing from Psalm 23 in a few moments. It's a description of well-cared-for sheep. He's the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. The sheep for the shepherd are not a project. They're not a hobby. They're not a meal ticket. The welfare of the sheep is the primary concern of the shepherd. And ordinarily, the death of the shepherd will mean the destruction of the sheep. But in the case of Jesus, it is the death of the shepherd that guarantees the security and the life of the sheep. And he makes that very clear. I lay down my life for my sheep. He makes it very clear that his life is not taken from him. He's not trapped into it. He's not drafted into it. I believe that there was a conversation among the Trinity before creation. Who will go? And Jesus says, I will go. And I will live a perfect life. I will pay the penalty for their sin. And the Father says, and I will give you a people for your name and for your kingdom. Jesus wasn't drafted. I believe there was conversation, and he volunteered to go. And that's what he clearly says. No one takes my life from me. And why does Jesus do that? To draw sheep into the pen. He wants you to understand the level of his love for his people. He lays down his life that they might be drawn into the pen. Now, let's talk about Geneva as a sheep pen. Let's talk first about living in the sheep pen. First of all, Geneva is a Christian sheep pen. We are a community of faith. A few years ago, John Carter wrote a book called The Culture of Disbelief, in which he accused academic institutions of being cultures of disbelief. In contrast, we are a community of faith. What do sheep pens do? They protect. They protect against those who don't belong. They protect against wolves in sheep's clothing. That's the emphasis that is being made. What about learning in the sheep pen? Well, Geneva is an educational sheep pen. We're an educational institution. Education and ministry is what we said we're about. It's the thing that we're wanting to emphasize. It's a pen where sheep are to be educated. One of the things our president has been saying clearly in a number of forums is Geneva is not the church. We're an institution of the church, but we're not the church. We're an educational institution. That's our primary function. What about serving in the sheep pen? If I pick up some pieces from the metaphor. First of all, sheep are known. Jesus says, I know my sheep. That means that students should not be mere numbers. Now, we have to use numbers to keep track. I understand that. But students are not mere numbers. They're not merely problems. Jesus leads his sheep, and that means that shepherds are by nature servant leaders. Sometimes Jesus leads sheep in places that they don't want to go. You're in an educational sheep pen. Sometimes your faculty will lead you places you don't want to go. Sometimes the administration is leading us in directions that we don't want to go, but which are good for us. That's the whole nature of being in a sheep pen. What about thriving in the sheep pen? And I almost used the word expect, but I don't like it. I want to talk about anticipation. What can students anticipate? That Geneva will be a safe place for learning, a safe place for exploring ideas, that there are legitimate boundaries, there's some educational boundaries, there's some social boundaries, there's some behavior boundaries, there's some belief boundaries. It's a safe place. That Geneva will be a place where sheep are served. The shepherd never views the sheep as lamb chops, concerned about market price. Say, shepherds serve the sheep. That Geneva will be a place where sheep are protected. Protection involves both leading and guiding. When we sing the 23rd Psalm, your rod and your staff. The rod beats away the predators, but it also provides a little bit of encouragement for the sheep. And students have a right to expect more than hired hands. And I want us to get the sense that it's not just the faculty that shepherd. It's not just people in student development in the dorms that shepherd. Everybody who works on the campus is involved in shepherding the sheep. And you can expect that Geneva will be a place where sheep graze, they learn, they rest. And if you ever watch them in a sheep pen, in and out in the pasture, they frolic and they play. Right? So you play frisbee on the front lawn. We have all kinds of athletic events, including some of you like to beat each other with medieval foam weapons. It's like, okay. Just, you know, don't hit unsuspecting faculty. What can the faculty, administration, and staff anticipate? That we will not be treated as hired hands. See, and at that point, if we understand that we're all shepherding, there's mutual appreciation and mutual service. But what can a sheep pen college expect from its students? May I plead with you to recognize that you were sheep? You're not the shepherds. And I'm sorry, sometimes your faculty may actually know more than you do. And that's the demand mentality. Students may, well, I paid all this money and they should give me education the way I think I should get it. No, you're sheep. Okay? You're not necessarily blind sheep, dumb sheep, or stubborn sheep, although I have seen all of those on this campus. Okay? But you're sheep. Recognize one another as sheep. And that means one of the tasks that we have is to protect from angry ewes or bullying rams. And then recognize those who shepherd and serve you. The 23rd Psalm is the tribute of a sheep to the shepherd. And what can we all anticipate? Well, here's where the metaphor breaks down. Every metaphor breaks down. That even the shepherds are sheep. This is not a perfect sheep pen, because if it were, neither you nor I would be here. And that means that all of us are going to fall short and fail, and we will need the death of the Good Shepherd to pay the penalty for our sins. The college is a sheep pen. Geneva is a sheep pen of Christ. And I close with an observation and a question. You are on the campus. Are you in the flock? And you come into the flock only through Jesus Christ. May Christ lead us forward as a community of the King who died and rose again for us. Amen.